you remember why it is dark and why it gets light again?
Good morning.
You are listening to KBOO in Portland. I'm Lynn. I'm here with, who is this?
Hi, Lynn. I remain Ani.
Excellent, excellent. This is Positively Revolting. It's the Solstice Show.
It is. It's about 7 minutes after 8 in the morning.
It is. And that was the lovely Bjork doing her little ditty called Solstice from her Biophila album or CD or whatever the kids are calling it these days.
Her sound file. I like the idea of Bjork singing little ditties. That's a whole new concept. Well, and good morning, good morning. It is just before solstice. We are at the darkest time of the year. And we're feeling it, right? I mean, I personally, I'm feeling it. And it seems that this year really has marked some major upheavals, both in the personal and the political realms. From the microcosm to the macrocosm, we are growing profoundly aware of our dissatisfaction with how things are. For so many people, life has become a race to accumulate flashier and shinier things. So Lynn and I thought we would take a moment and look at this transition point of the year, to see how we are actually making that transition from looking at pleasure and reward and goals as being too often made of shiny things, non-renewable resources, got by people working without basic worker protections or adequate pay, so that they can be afforded by workers whose wages have been forever ground down and paid through debt, accruing interest accruing interest to the financiers, which has become, which is really just sort of
usury.
Encouraged, shall we say, that indentured servitude. So one then has to, earn a living by serving one's corporate master, because, of course, you want the higher dollar so you can get the more of the shiny things. And it's a cycle. And of course...
Or these days, maybe just to pay rent.
And of course, yes, as we are looking at people being ground down further and further, the shiny things are more and more elusive. And rent and food and things like that sort of come more sharply into focus. But again, it's this hamster wheel of serving the faceless, all too often non-compassionate, dehumanizing corporate master. So the service is also too often unfulfilling. It's unbefitting work for intelligent and creative beings like we are. It's all too often a person who feels this dissatisfaction actually then, and the pinch of, as Lynn was saying, the ground down wages, even though the shiny things are more elusive, well, that reward becomes all the sweeter, and so the chase is on. And you see this reflected in commercial culture all around us. So what do we do? It's pretty much at this point, we see that people are falling into this despair, feeling a lack of self-worth when they're not able to keep up with manufactured desires or, in fact, actual needs. And identities become too often commingled with what job you hold or what job you don't hold. And here we are. We are at this turning point. We are at the point where the light returns, and we are finding ourselves waking up more and more. And we find more and more people recognizing that a human being's natural habitat is not in a cubby and not in a mall, not in a cubicle, not in a sterile environment trying to figure out telemarketing or how to make the best widget. These things are not really befitting our lives. So as we invite transformation into our lives that this time of year brings, we find that action is truly the antidote for despair once again, and we reach towards one another to collaborate in new and bold creative acts of resistance, even as we co-create the world we want to see around us. Strengthening our communities, we are digging deep to redefine meaning in our lives. We are digging deep in this evolutionary point in our human history where there is a groundswell of democracy movements striving for global justice together. We are in the process of becoming fully human with one another, not just passive producers and consumers of goods and services. So how does all this relate to the solstice, one might ask? Because that's what we're supposed to be talking about, the solstice. So, well, this is that darkness. This is the time of deep visioning and dreaming and figuring out what do we want to bring in. This is the time that dreaming helps us to actually bring freshness to the world that we are wanting to co-create and that we are co-creating moment by moment with each other even now. We don't want to just do the same things over and over again with a slightly new look. It's time to go deeper. It's time to delve into the liberating powers of dreaming, of visioning, and of connecting to one another in the collective unconscious. What have you done to free your mind lately? Is sort of my mantra for this particular time of year.
Well, you know, it's coming up.
Do tell, Lynn.
The Global Orgasm for Peace.
Why, yeah, now there's something you can do to free your mind.
It's an annual event, and every year we need it more.
Yes.
Though, there's propaganda about wars being over, which is, of course, an interesting interpretation of still having tons of contractors in the largest military base in the world in Iraq. And
I will believe war is over when killing stops.
Ooh.
I think that's sort of my litmus test for it. War over? Not over. People being killed? Not being killed. I'm not really sure I care if it's government forces or government contractors that are doing the killing. I want to know that killing stops. Yeah, I think that would be good.
And
perhaps a, you know, sort of a local democracy movements that then say self-governed countries instead of, say, U.S. puppets.
And all the people that are coming back that have been in that theater, so to speak, are just, I mean, I hear people that are so happy that their folks are coming back and I'm going, oh, you're just starting a really large journey with these people. Now we have just an amazing amount of damaged folks around, and we can hear more about that at the Veterans Voice, which is after us this morning, by the way, at 9 o'clock.
Indeed. So here we are looking at the Wheel of the Year and looking at where we're at in it. And if you would like to join in this conversation, we would love to hear from you. 503-231-8187 is the number to call this morning. And Lynn, there's some interesting astrological events that are sort of playing into this time of upheaval and transformation. Are there not?
There are. You know, well, the solstice itself is when the sun is directly above the Tropic of Capricorn. This year it's going to be the 22nd of December at like 5:30.
And that's 5:30 like
Pacific Standard Time.
No, that's Greenwich. 5:30 a.m. Greenwich.
Oh, okay. So well, I was looking at a website, which can be totally wrong. It said Pacific Standard Time.
Wait, I was looking at a website and it said
contradictions on the interwebs? No, say it isn't so.
The 5:30 a.m. is the Greenwich, and so it's actually the 21st here at 9:30 p.m. is what I understand.
Well, but that's great. So if you're having a party,
now you know.
Know those things. I was just looking at winter solstice 2011 and what was going on. And we have a lot of, well, you know, the Uranus-Pluto square continues and will until 2014. But that's giving us some great revolution. But it's a revolution in our personal lives as well that we may not welcome. Have you noticed people are picky?
Yeah.
Nitpicky. There's nitpicking.
Yes, I've noticed a little.
There's nitpicking galore, a lot of tension. And I part of it, too, is that I think the natural... For me, it seems the natural way to be this time of year is kind of as a hermit, and we are forced out into, not that parties aren't a good thing, we're forced into this month-long celebration. I suspect that folks long ago kind of hibernated, and you didn't come out until the solstice actually happened for a celebration then, instead of having this drudgery of this month between Thanksgiving and most people I know.
The drudgery of social events.
Well, it gets to be because my notion about that is that it's because it's so opposite of what our bodies want to do. It's dark, you kind of want to hunker in, do some knitting, reading, not so much party all the time. Now, there is Festivus, though. That is another thing that is... Dan O'Keefe introduced it into Seinfeld years ago, for those of you that don't know. And Festivus is for the rest of us.
That's what I'd heard.
Yeah, the Festivus pole is a tall aluminum thing. And the airing of the grievances and feats of strength, I think, are important celebrations. But, you know, you can do Festivus whenever you want to.
So I wanted to look at a little bit more context for the Wheel of the Year. Every now and again, we really enjoy sort of looking at the turning points of the Celtic year, and what we've come to call sort of the witches are in shows. And during these programs, we invite your calls with questions that you might have about neopaganism, about the Celtic calendar.
I hate calling it neopaganism.
I know,
though.
I do too, because it's kind of just, well, paganism, isn't it?
It's when it sounds too much like neo conservatism to me. So yeah,
neoliberal. You know, it's that whole. Here we are trying to live in the spiritual path connected with all
world
around us, yeah, when in fact we're urban dwellers. To me, that's the neo part of it. We're adopting, adapting, and making do. Anyways, it's a sort of a non-organized spirituality, as it were, because it's very much based on individuated experience. It's not a written dogma. So And also, you know, tarot astrology, we throw those into the mix as well. So today, we hope you do just that. Go ahead, give us a call, 503-231-8187.
Don't wait till the very end of the show. Then you can't get in.
And so here we are again, just before the winter solstice, so we can look forward to days growing a bit brighter, each day a bit brighter than the one before. And that starts next week, right?
Yeah. Yet I never feel it till February.
Well, it's actually more like, oh, I guess it's a week and a half.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful.
It does.
And funny you should mention February, because in fact, that's the next turning point and the beginning of spring on Imbolc. So in looking at the wheel in this branch of earth-based spirituality, looking ahead, we have, well, as we were talking about winter solstice, as we've been mentioning, it's the sun's rebirth. A new year begins with all bright shining potential. As the new sun grows in strength, we need to focus on what aspirations we have in our lives that we would like to grow into reality this cycle, this year. What can we give strength to in that new world of justice and love and laughter? That is sort of our task at hand, if you will, for this turning point. The next being Imbolc, the Feast of Brigid, or Candlemas, right around the beginning of February, around February 2nd. Traditionally, this involves a feast dedicated to Brigid. It's the beginning of spring. Lambs are being born. Signs of life begin to appear in earnest. Because I don't know about you, but lambs being born doesn't, again, mean a whole lot to me as an urban dweller. But that is one of the traditional big marking points of Imbolc time.
The folks that were Italian in my neighborhood when I grew up had lamb cakes.
Uh-huh.
Around that time of year, uh-huh. Of course. Eat them.
Well, yes. So it's a time of, again, beginnings, of initiation. The god is seen to be in his infancy, the god that is birthed at solstice time, but gaining in strength, the goddess rests after birth, readying herself for Ostara, or the spring equinox, which brings about the rites of spring, a time to celebrate fertility of the goddess in her maiden role. The god grows well into his youth in the springtime. There's this wonderful just little allegory looking at the god and goddess throughout the year. It's a time to nurture and feed what we've started and see what else needs to be manifested in our lives, a time to find balance and strive for, that balance in all things as we realize the extent of our energy in all projects that we are undertaking, both internal and external. It's a time of planting, of laying out tangible foundations for ideas and projects and figuring out the energy that they need to be fed in order to come to fruition. Following Ostara is Beltane. It's the celebration of sexuality. The year turns to early summer. That's right around May Day. Traditionally celebrated by erecting a maypole and dancing throughout the day, giving ways to bonfires and, well, sex in the fields at night. Again, as urban dwellers adapt, improve. This is the time that the god becomes a man through his union with the goddess, and leads us to summer solstice or midsummer, the halfway point when the sun is at full power and the night is little, in the northern hemisphere at least. The god, you know, is again at full power. It's expansive energy in celebration time, and we call that 6 months from now the other turning point of the year. Lammas is following that, celebrated August 1st. It's the festival of first harvest. Assessing what you have manifested already, how is it coming in for you? This is a time that the god grows somewhat older, waning in energy, while the goddess as mother harvests the seeds and nurtures the god growing within her already, awaiting his rebirth. At Maybon or fall equinox, we celebrate balance again. Projects started in the spring should be coming to fruition about then. It's a time to give thanks for what has come into one's life, to prepare for more introspective and darker times ahead. The god, old now, rests after harvest, preparing to die and continue the cycle. And that turns into Samhain. The beginning of winter, the time of dreaming, of communication with the dead, with those spiritual allies who are no longer in body. the veil separating this world from the land of the dead and the ancestors, the land of faerie. It grows the thinnest at Samhain, making it a great time to gain advice and contemplate visions to guide you through the dark and introspective times around us. The god dies on Samhain, and the old year passes away. The year lies fallow, the world lies fallow, resting until the god's rebirth. So exactly as Lynn was saying earlier, how we sort of foist ourselves into all manner of social activities and all manner of busyness between early November and solstice. That is traditionally not what we do. This time of year is all about the introspection, all about the gathering of close kin for long nights of quiet. You know, it's sort of a quiet conversation, a sort of an introspection, a sort of a sharing of food. You know, not to say that there is not a celebration.
Well, from what I've been reading, it was like a week-long celebration, not a a marathon
you sort of,
endurance.
No, right. You sort of settled in and you be with people. It's that kind of deep connective time, again, as opposed to the how many parties can you appear at in one day. Which we'll see how many parties one can appear at in one day.
You know, I have been reading that the original shopping glow wore off after that first Thanksgiving weekend, and that it's been somewhat at an all-time low. In fact, Macy's was advertising this Saturday being the last Saturday to shop before Christmas, when that's not true. Just to get folks in.
Well, I mean, most people want to be over that sort of thing by Christmas Eve. Which is, but still, you're right. It's not true, technically speaking. the initial fervor did wear off, and people are faced with the reality of we're broke.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
that's
or maybe
unsatisfying.
Maybe some folks are deciding, I don't know, how do our listeners feel about that? Have you decided shopping is not the way to spend this Festivus time?
I think, again, people are waking up to that. And I think they're waking up in what record numbers, broke or not broke. We realize that shopping till we drop does not bring satisfaction. And really, that quality time with friends and family, really sharing of ourselves, means so much more than something generally manufactured by sweatshop labor that will be broken or forgotten quickly. Mm-hmm. Just saying. So again, as we look at the wheel of the year and get through Samhain, it brings us back to now. Again, this year, winter solstice technically happens at 9:30 p.m. on the 21st. But again, this turning point, like all pagan holidays, encompasses a short span of time as energies grow and shift. It's not really like a binary light switch sort of thing. It's this is the solstice time. Anytime I notice it's getting dark at, you know, just around 4, and I can see the light shifting to dark around 3:30, it's around solstice.
When it feels like it's 10 o'clock at 7 o'clock in the evening, or 5.
So this is, again, the lessons of each season coming daily before our eyes as we connect with place and each other, as we see the world around us as not different or separate from ourselves. So moving into this time of renewal, I ask you listeners to call in and let us know what you want to transform or renew in your own life in the year ahead. Call us with your affirmations for yourself and for your community, for your world. What are you making room for personally? What are you leaving behind in 2011?
Bonne question. Do you know some of the origins of how, you know, Christmas and solstice got all intertwined?
Do tell, Lynn.
I believe, once again, it was an emperor who established, Emperor Aurelian established December 25th as the birthday of the invincible sun in the 3rd century as part of the Roman winter solstice celebrations, which were Saturnalia until that point. And it wasn't really until 273 AD that the Christian church selected that the 25th to represent the birthday of the little Jesus. And it was a solar feast, of course, was Christianized. January 6th was the Egyptian one, was what the Egyptians did. And that's now known as Epiphany, or my brother's birthday, whichever you want to do. When the Magi, you know, the Epiphany is when the Magi were supposed to have
made a little visit,
yeah.
So, but if you would like to call, 503-231-8187.
And, you know, you can also email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. And we'll, if you don't feel like talking, we'll read your question or comment right here on the air. Will we not?
We will. We'll do just that very thing. Also, we have Facebook, Positively Revolting on Facebook. You can also find us there and leave something for us. We will find all messages, we
swear.
And
are we Twittering?
Yeah, you know, we're gonna. And when we do, you can follow us on Twitter, because we're gonna. And you can, you know, be ahead of the curve. You can be one of our very, very first followers who could receive our very, very first tweet any minute now. And we're Positive Revolt at Twitter. So there is all of this. And again, most curious to hear from you about how you are dealing with this transition point. Because I think it's, again, important that we share these things together, that we check in with each other. This is community, and this is communal. And what we do, again, echoes our more ancient traditions of gathering points, of turning points, of noting them, and celebrating them, even painful ones, and moving through it. When I was talking about this year being a year of upheaval, man, for just about everyone I know, from the very deep and personal to the ever-expansive and political, this year has shaken us to our cores. And how are we faring as we put our lives together, as we put the world together? That is my overarching question for this solstice. And how are we doing it different? Again, not just with the same thing with a different outfit. How are we truly affecting profound change in our lives and in our communities? One of the things I've been noticing about Occupy, for example, is the true desire to not recreate the same things that that we find ourselves in resistance, and that to create something wholly different, wholly new, not just the protest model that we've seen not work for so many years, but to challenge ourselves and each other to be more creative, to build new systems, to write new contracts in how to be with each other on an egalitarian basis. And we are learning to do that. We're not there. You know, I think that's one of the things sometimes people get kind of confused around, in that, well, we don't have all the answers yet, so we can't really do it. But actually, we learn by doing it. We learn by going. And that's what I think. So let's go ahead and talk to Franny. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, something struck a chord when you were talking. I didn't think I was going to call in until you started talking about people not shopping for Christmas, and I'm not doing that this year, and it feels really good, and I just feel outside of all of that, and nobody seems to notice that I'm not shopping, and I think that's great.
Yeah, that's really great, Franny. It is awesome.
Have you talked to other friends and seen them doing that too, or?
Well, I have one friend who was doing it, but then she broke down and got a Christmas tree, and you know, she's sort of sad about it, about the fact that she's kind of disconnected from the holiday. I don't feel sad to be disconnected from it. I feel normal about that. It's very normal about it. You know, it's comes around so quickly every year, and I just think, well, I'm outside of it.
Right.
I'm enjoying it, and it has been a really bad, well, I hate to say any year is bad, but because I don't want to dismiss the whole year, but it's definitely been, there's been a lot of upheaval for me.
Challenging, as they say.
Very, very challenging, but I've been able to, you know, come back to a place of peace. So that's good, because I've had a lot of things thrown at me at once, and it's really easy to buckle under. And I think I've done a good job of not letting that happen completely.
Well, good. And you're rewarding yourself by not getting in the melee.
Exactly.
Good for you.
So it feels really good. So thanks for a great show.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And let's see. So we have
Jerry seems to be there. Jerry's back.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good. I just was kind of wondering if you're going to get upset if this morning here I'm more positively revolting than you are.
Go ahead and do it. I don't think we're in competition.
Awesome. That's wonderful to hear. I understand how it's easy to relate everything to everything by means of chatty intuition, and it's certainly appropriate to complain about a few things, but after the point of complaint, there needs to be some concrete activity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree to that?
Sure.
So would you have any ideas about how the Occupy protesters might pay the bills, pay the mortgage, pay for their needs by means of justice, love, and laughter instead of working in a corporate cubicle?
Well, might you ask, I think that people are being more creative about how we work with each other and how we share our resources. That's what I'm seeing. And, you know, I'm not quite sure. You know, it seems like something that we've said has perhaps set yet maybe a little on edge. I don't know if it's how to get the money part or...
I'm feeling kind of pagan.
Okay, cool. The whole thing around chasing the dollar and how we do that. Again, money is a part of our reality. And actually, there are a number of voices within the Occupy movement locally who are saying we need to step away from it and not deal with money, to deal with each other, our community needs, in-kind donations, perhaps. But again, ever pragmatic, we live in a society that uses money as exchange, right? To pay our mortgages, to pay our rent, to do all of that. How do we actually... find ways to support ourselves, to sustain ourselves, to sustain our communities, and have work that befits us, that does not compound the problem by adding to some kind of resource extraction, that does not keep us in poverty while our bosses, live it a little larger. How do we actually find a way to support each other in these times as we transition to a world we'd much rather see? I watch...
Do you have an example of that?
Yeah, I watch people...
It's not a fairy tale at this point.
It's not really a fairy tale. I'm watching people disengage from the system and create...
Do you have an example of how they supplant their need for money?
Sure. I'm watching people disengage from the system and work far fewer hours at jobs they find more... emotionally satisfying. I'm watching people working within community and growing their own food. I'm watching people living within community, which drastically lowers expenses. I'm watching people get back to the do-it-yourself ethic. And I'm watching people do a lot of direct barter and exchange and direct care for each other without looking so much at cash. I'm looking at people sharing what resources they have, if they do have those day jobs, with folks that don't. I'm watching that happen around me. So that's what I'm talking about.
And does justice, love, and laughter provide technology that people feel like they need and want?
I don't, you know, that's not a, that's not, that's not a, a replacement. That's something that just seems like a human right to have justice, love, and laughter.
And that's the world I want to live in. Now, does that world include technology? Yeah, I'm going to guess it does.
It doesn't. One doesn't replace the other.
Right. It's just sort of our overarching principles.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you feel that you can only have technology or justice, love, and laughter.
But I think we can go for all.
I better say it. Does justice, love, and laughter provide technology? I didn't say supplant it. I asked it to.
Well, I don't see. It doesn't make that question doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
So I'm not going to answer it.
I guess I'm again not really getting. I get where you're going, but frankly, I don't want to buy into your cynicism. I don't think that works for me. You know, to say that we want a world based on love.
Try to calm down a little bit.
I'm not really upset. What I'm saying is, if we want a world based on beauty, on truth, on love, on laughter, that really has nothing to do with where we are going with our technology. Sure, we are in conversation with how we are using our resources, and hopefully our technology is working with the resources and understanding sustainability in our finite world. But there's no contradiction between having, you know, using tools, which is what technology is, and having a world based on egalitarianism and, you know, some beauty.
Then it's still okay to work in a corporate cubicle, you're saying?
Well, if that pleases your soul, I suppose you might as well do it. I don't, however, believe that the corporate model is sustainable. So I think that time will be finite eventually. But again, if it pleases your soul, then knock yourself out.
I work for a local business, and I work by means of technology, mm-hmm. and I have justice, love, and laughter in my life.
Then awesome.
And because I'm in part of the system, I can go home to a place that I like to be at, and I have justice, love, and laughter, and I don't have to protest to get that.
Well, I'm very happy that that is true for you. I think that that is awesome. It
and
is not true for very... Well, I'm just happy for you. You don't have to be validated by it or not.
Myself, because you're happy.
What I'm actually saying is that not a lot of people actually have that kind of satisfaction, and that's, I think, kind of sad. And so...
Perhaps those people haven't paid the price and invested in their future.
It's the bootstraps.
Oh, it's the bootstraps. I knew we would find the bootstraps in
here.
Well, I think that that's kind of tired and old. And we've already tried that. So we're trying something new now. And we thank you very much for your call this morning,
Thanks
Jerry.
Thanks a lot, Jerry.
But we are going to move along. And there is...
Is Pat with us? Payphone Pat.
Hey, I'm just like that crazy cousin who only shows up on the holidays.
I have been thinking about you, though. It is a nice thing to hear from you.
You're always in my heart, too, there, Ronnie. That's a fact. I'm not making that up. But, yeah, well, this time of the year always lends me to look for the justice, love, and laughter inside the extended hours of darkness. If you turn off your lights once in a while, actually lend themselves, the darkness lends to us, the opportunity to look within, because if it's really dark, you can't see anything outside anyway. So that's you know where I start, because I know that if you don't have the love and justice and warmth in your own being, it's really tough to spread that around.
Indeedly.
And that's all I got to say today. But you know, happy days, and you know, I'm waiting for the return of the sun.
Boy, are we all? Yes.
All right. Take care.
Thanks very much for your call.
Bye.
And there you have it.
503-231-8187. If you would like to join us at this time, we do have an open phone line now. Bases were loaded, but we went through those rather quickly.
We did, indeed.
503-231-8187. You know, again, the idea of your own happiness is truly important. And what it takes to get you there, again, you know that better than anyone else. That's sort of, I think...
Well, it's not just about... Part of what Occupy is saying is a return to compassion.
Yes.
Just your basic... I've been working on Dickensian costumes, and I thought, I will go... I'm watching an old production of Bleak House from like 207, a British one, because the costumes are good. But then I started realizing just how Dickensian... Our culture is, not our culture, but our society
Indeed.
Is right now. And I remember as a kid watching and reading Dickens things, thinking, boy, glad it's not like that now. And I'm looking at this going, we are extremely Dickensian.
Yeah, we got
Dickensian costume seems to be the absolute fitting thing to be wearing this time of year.
It's true. I mean, I'm going to out us. So Lynn and I have been doing a little street theater with some Dickensian costuming going on. If you're really lucky, you could catch one of our surprise performances someplace on a corner near you. but we, you know, in choosing the Dickensian theme, well, sure, I was thinking of it sort of in that abstract workhouse kind of, you know, the poor are with us and the fat cats are fatter. But Oh, my word. Newt Gingrich, the other day, proposing child labor.
Get these kids off their behind.
God, right? I mean, how Dickensian can we be? I mean, I think this is really, if we're going to do something with this season.
Well, to me, that is the ultimate of the pull yourself by your own bootstraps. All our bootstraps are connected, people.
And I guess the other, one other point.
Sorry, I get on a soapbox there.
I know. Bootstraps. Bootstraps bother Lynn and I, actually.
They're fine for boots.
Yes. They don't work so well as social theory, however. I guess the other thing is, being a Brit, I recognize a lot of what Jerry, our friend Jerry, was saying a moment ago. You know, the British culture, anything for the quiet life. You know, if you have yours, you've done something that you find satisfying, you get home at the end of the day, you've got, you know, you got the missus, you got the telly, you've got a good dinner on the table, then what else do you need? Quit your, you know, belly aching about it and get the quiet life. Go on, get it. Because that's what you need. That's what makes you happy. It's not that satisfying, actually, because as you look about yourself, you find so many people without.
Well, or if that is... there just doesn't seem a reason really to mock folks that are interested in that.
And looking at some connections and compassions in helping us all achieve something like comfort in our lives.
True. And now, speaking of folks, we've got some on the line.
True that.
Kevin, good morning.
I was calling in to respond to the last caller's bringing up the topic of technology and
sure.
What seemed to be a paradigm of, you know, if you want technology, you need a cubicle or something to that effect.
I wanted to bring up a
totally different approach or awesome. Thought about technology. Whereas I wouldn't propose that, you know, we all have our own Walden's Pond or something like that, you know, where we're totally isolated or something like that. I think there hasn't been enough effort, in my opinion, to focus solving problems for the individual or for small communities using what, you know, you might call technology. And that's one of the things I've spent a lot of time. I'm an engineer, and I've spent many years working in cubicles, but also outside of that, trying to apply technology for the individual and for communities. And so one example is recipefactory.net, where I'm using perceptual science to help predict flavor of foods and give the nutritional analysis and that kind of thing, where you can take advantage of the fact that there are thousands of species of edible plants or palatable plants that are not commercially cultivated. And a lot of the nutrition is not yet, it hasn't yet been analyzed, so we don't necessarily know what's in it exactly, but we can get good estimates based on some of the existing science. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is we could take advantage of existing science just the way industry takes advantage of government research and then exploits that.
Nicely put. Individuals
can exploit, you know, research that's already been done by both government and industry and individuals using the technology of the internet, basically, or, you know, libraries or talking to each other, whatever means you want. But the main point is, you know, it seems like a lot more of that is starting to happen. I mean, it's not like it's never happened, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to, you know, point that out.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Thanks very much for your call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cheers. It is about 12 minutes before 9 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to Positively Revolting on KBOO, your very own community radio station. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And
what's coming up this morning?
Well, might you ask, after we wrap up our solstice time discussions, we will be hearing from Veterans Voice, as you mentioned earlier. Lynn, at 9 o'clock, Veterans Voice takes to the airs. And their topics are revisiting Vietnam, survival guilt, and diagnosing PTSD.
Oh, that other war.
And also the reintegration of veterans. Marv Simmons and Bill Byers of Northwest Vets for Peace host. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia will be on with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints featuring more on the case of accused WikiLeaks whistleblower Bradley Manning. At 11 o'clock, we hear The Militarization of Indian Country, written by Ranona LaDuke and Sean Cruz. They tell the stories of the impact of the U.S. military at what they've had on Native Americans' lives and homelands. Thanks to KABU members for your support. Remember, this is how we do it. We do it with you. You are the community that supports your community radio station. If you're not a member just yet, go to kboo.fm and click on the tip jar to join. If you would like information on how to support KABU by donating a car that you no longer need, please go to the KABU website at kboo.fm/vehicle. So many ways to support community radio. Mm-hmm. Just do it by whatever way you can. I do believe we have another call, do we not?
We do. Julie.
Let's talk to Julie. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, there's so many things going on in the world just on KABU. It's amazing.
It's true. Oh, you have no idea.
But I know. I listen a lot. Anyway, so here's my theory about the solstice. Is just as for taste, there's monosodium glutamate and different kinds of corn syrups and things that can entice us back to our reptilian times and kind of overcome our normal satiation. I don't know if I'm saying all that right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So I believe that one can walk around Peacock Lane or listen to endless music and can almost be like that kind of it allows you to be overly saturated so that you become numb. I hope the comparison is making some sense there.
I think I get where you're going with that. Yeah.
Because as humans, you were right, I believe, that, you know, we do want to kind of hunker down and we don't want to really go out. And so they say, okay, well, what can we do to get them out there, to get them shopping, to get them, you know, doing all this stuff?
In the holiday spirit,
as it
were.
Move the herds around.
Yeah. So so there's this, give them lots and lots of light. Give them lots and lots of sound, festive sound. Give them all this so that it kind of bypasses their normal satiation and entices them to continue, as you said, way past a week into a month or more. And people wonder why in January they just have, like, nothing left.
Yeah, right?
Or, yeah.
Huh, how could I be depleted? Yeah. Well, thank you very, very much for your call, Julie.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm.
We just had somebody email us.
Yes.
And share her thoughts on solstice. I'd like to go ahead and read those.
Please
and
do.
Again, if you'd like to email us, you can do that at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. You can also Facebook us, where we are still Positively Revolting on Facebook. And Positive Revolt on Twitter, when we use it.
If you
could be the first to know, it'll be so cool. You could be there when I tweet.
We won't.
I don't know. So the behind-the-scenes joke is, I have no cell phone, and Lynn can't seem to actually get into a Twitter account to save her life on her cell phone. She's apparently blocked herself.
I've blocked myself to my own. And talk to your administrator, which, of course, is who I am. So, so I'll figure
Lynn's
it out,
Lynn's a
folks.
Deep
really,
conversation with herself.
I will figure it out.
And, you know, I could tweet from my desk at any time. So that's... we're a little challenged. Anyway... Kathy wrote us and says her thoughts on solstice. Turn off all the lights. Keep the lights on the Yule tree on if you'd like. Light many candles. Pour a glass of wine or water or tea or whatever. That doesn't matter. And just sit back and be. Quiet and calm, reflective, just be. Leave the stress. Let it go. It means nothing.
Thank you, Kathy.
I love that solstice thought. So thanks very much, Kathy. 503-231-8187. We have just a few minutes left. And looks like we have Vernon joining us now. Good morning, Vernon.
maybe
point out that there's an appropriate technology for this time of year.
And what is that, Vernon?
Now is a good time to sight the sun to determine how to use the sun to heat your space, which is a very important technological change that we need to do in order to replace electricity in our lives.
Or power electricity, you mean? Or
exactly. The point is, sun used as heat is the most efficient way to use it. So if we can heat our living spaces with the sun, it requires proper orientation. And this time of year, you can sight exactly where the sun is relative to your place and plan your structure so that it absorbs that heat and heats your home passively.
So what, but here in Oregon, what do we do about our massive cloudy days and lack of, does that make any difference, or can you still use solar power, that particular kind of passive power?
It can make a difference. The sun is still there. You lose about 20% through heavy cloud, but it's still there, and you do still draw heat from it.
Okay.
Thanks
very
much.
Do you do that with your house, Vernon?
I'm doing that right now with a home that I haven't been living in for very long. I'm actually looking out the south window right now trying to see if I can figure out where the sun is through all this fog.
Right. Yes. And, being right close to the solstice, the sun making such a brief appearance in our days over this next few weeks. So
that low arc is important.
Right. Thank you very much for bringing that.
Put a sweater on, as my mother would say.
Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention this morning.
Happy solstice.
Thank you. And to you. Thanks very much. So, final thoughts. We have just a few, really just a couple minutes left, as we are just about 4 minutes to nine. We want to make way for Veterans Voice. But again, just to sum up, astrologically, looking at when things start to shift.
That was a sigh, people.
Yeah. It's the sigh that Lynn makes every time I look at her and say, so when do we shift again?
To what? I mean, things
to
are always
what?
Moving.
Okay,
to
fine.
What? You know, what do you mean? Right
a
now are very
question.
Challenging times. There's a lot of change going on, and it's a lot of change some people are not looking for. And it's all a lot of very sudden, and, you know, most of us really don't, a friend of mine always says, change is great, you first, which is
right.
A t-shirt waiting to happen, but folks don't usually like to have change initiated outside of themselves. And we're going to face a lot of that in the next few years.
Yeah.
But change is good.
Yeah, it's important. As revolutionaries, right, we need to look at the fact that the political is personal, not only the other
right.
way around. So as we
so
want
know
to
know who
affect,
you are, as they, and also as they said above the, know thyself is what was said above the gate of the oracle.
Yes, indeed.
And it's a more important time than ever to know yourself.
And to, in fact, embrace change as a constant. And, in fact, to embrace your community. Because together, we are so much stronger. And we can support each other through what really can prove to be very challenging transitions. Transitions are not to be resisted, right? Transitions are pretty much
give it a try,
okay.
But yeah.
Because it's pretty pointless, and they only get more upheavally the more you try to resist them.
It's that upheavally.
So again, embrace each other, embrace the changes, and looking really deeply over this next week to vision and to bring forth what it is we want to see in this world around us.
And stay positively revolting.
Indeed.